SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That can't be. We can't have that.
With Donnie, baseball right side.
It's good times now, obviously, with all the changes to Major League Baseball, as I like to put them, every single one of them better than the next. You're going to get the same amount, if not more, scoring and more action all at once in a shorter, condensed time frame. It would be like me coming on and going, yo, Kevin, you know what makes a football game better? Put in 17 more commercial breaks. I love the breathing of the game, Kevin.
And Kevin K. Master Walsh.
This morning got me red. This look, going into yesterday, doing research, giving out the pick six for people, giving out World Series previews and predictions. I felt that energy this morning. You know whose idea was putting like a massive behind the scoreboard clock? That's one of the worst ideas of all time. You don't want anybody thinking about the pitch clock.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's go time here on a Friday. No better place to be than right here, right now on the Sports Grid Network. It is Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. Over the next 2 hours, we got you covered. If you want to get those hot takes in, get them in. 844-843-6879. Final four tomorrow. Major League Baseball Day 2. Huge NBA card tonight. And away we go.
Big stuff, people. Big stuff. Get excited here. It's all happening. Women's college game tonight. Final four action. Iowa, South Carolina, the game you've been waiting for. Some are saying the men are even fortunate to be getting talked about on shows. The women are owning March.
Yeah. And that's the way we're going to play it out and have some fun with that, because there is the women's final four tonight. Got some nice plays set up for this weekend. We'll give those out a little bit later in hour number one. But also a little bit of Woj information here. Ready? ESPN sources. As NBA and NBPA pursue a new CBA ahead of tonight's opt-out deadline, a deal wouldn't include a change in the minimum draft age rule, ending the one-and-done era. High school players will still need to wait a full year behind graduation to enter future drafts. Genius. Thank goodness the NBA sees right through that scam, and the league is better for it. K-Dub, what are your thoughts?
This isn't something we have discussed. What is your take here?
Well, here's the take. To high school kids, it is a little bit unfair if a team is stupid enough to take them in, like, you know, the top five or top 10 in the NBA draft. Now, you might land on a LeBron James, which is like once every 20 years, and sometimes those players do deserve to go right to the NBA. We understand that. But at the same time, I look at it, Kevin, not from a player's perspective, not from a team's perspective. I look at it from a fan's perspective. It's not fair that organizations are dumb enough to sort of like railroad their organization with a kid that's played against 17-year-olds and try to extrapolate he's going to be an unbelievable NBA player. It's nothing against the players, because if they're good enough to get drafted, they probably should. But organizations will draft on future and how they look, and within 2 or 3 years, oh no, he's on his way, only to realize, Kevin, by the time he's 24 years old, he's a really good basketball player and he's three teams down the line at that point. It's not about me hating on the NBA player, excuse me, the high school player, because they deserve to get drafted. It's about being unfair to the fans, because NBA teams are dumb and they will draft these kids and ruin their teams. Therefore, the fan experience will go lower.
Why is the notion for you about all misses and not hits? What about last year, Donnie, the fact that Victor Wembanyama would have gone number one overall in that draft and what that would have been able to do for the Orlando Magic? I know they like Ben Carroll, who's going to win Rookie of the Year. But Victor Wembanyama would have gone number one in that draft. Why is, for you, it looked at solely negative? Yeah, it's up to the franchises to not let the entire first round feature 20 high school kids. But, they have to obviously, again, make sure that they get the right players. But it's the same as when they're drafting freshmen out of college. Like, teams make wrong decisions all the time. I think that argument goes the complete opposite direction. Zion Williamson could have come out a year earlier, and think about what that would have done had that team that was.
Yeah, for every Kobe Bryant, there's 25 flat-out busts that wreck your franchise.
Like, but again, I'm not at any age level.
But no, but you feel at least you have an educated. You're not even taking an educated guess. Do you remember a couple years ago where something was wrong with the NFL? PA, where for like one summer, like high school kids were eligible to be drafted into the pros, and teams like, okay, I got to go look at this wide receiver down in high school. Like, make sure the NBA teams are spending the time on the right players, because if you open up the field, Kevin, to high school, that's more wasted time. But again, that's an NBA organization's fault. But it gets dumped on the fan base that goes, man, we stink. Why? I don't know. We drafted this kid out of high school. Guy can't play. Now, yes, for every LeBron James, as I said, which could be a home run and they should be in the pros, there's probably 25 or 30 kids over those LeBron James years that, man, these guys stink. Take a look at the high school players dating back to Kevin Durant. It's bad. It's really bad.
I mean, but yeah, but it's, again, it's like LeBron, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, as you mentioned. There's been plenty of high school hits. I know, you know, Kwame Brown was certainly a disaster there, but again, there's plenty of busts. Like, I mean, Obi Toppin got drafted at 24 to Dayton, would have won National Player of the Year if not for you know, the pandemic. The Knicks drafted him. He's like their 11th best player. They had
like, I don't
7 years
if they go
scouted
to Australia.
On
like, I don't mind them going to Australia, going pro somewhere else, or sitting out, or going NBA G League. I'm fine with all that stuff, because it gets you an extra year of, okay, let's see if this guy can really play. Is he really worth that spot? And I think the G League actually works wonders, because, oh, it hurts the doesn't hurt the college game at all. College game is going to be survived and be massive for the next 100 years. But I just like the fact that, like, hey, this kid was going to go number one overall, and then all of a sudden he goes to G League and say, well, maybe he's not that good.
I actually think there's something in place if you want to carry this over. There is something in place that will only the elite of the elite would enter the draft.
Yes, and that's what I like. Like, if you have can't-miss superstars going into the NBA out of high school, Kevin, I'm all about that. I'm not hating on that at all. But I just don't want to have the fan bases get hurt by just taking 17-year-olds that is even an NBA player. We don't know about that yet. A lot more to go today on a Friday. Make sure you keep it right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, we got hot topics all over the place, K-Dub, right? That's what we do on this show. So if anybody's known anything about your boy DRS, including today in my Listen Up segment, I like to be the commissioner of sports. Rob Manfred is a genius in so many ways, but extra stupid in other ways as well. Like today, you have, I don't know, let's just say most teams ended in September, right? Last day of September, whatever. So October, November, December, January, February, March, and basically April, 7 months between pitches for some organizations. Now, everybody, as I said, is excited for baseball season. If you're just a baseball fan, and even if your team stinks, you're excited for Major League Baseball opening day because it gives that breath of fresh air. It's the rite of passage from spring in the summer, and better times are ahead, right? And also, you like your baseball team. You're 0-0. Hey, if you win opening day, you're 1-0. Feels great, and away you go. Now, Major League Baseball is still sometimes built for the 1940s. And the story I'm going to tell here is why this rule is in place. Then me and Kevin are going to go back and forth, have some fun, but I think we're actually on the same side here. Mm-hmm. You have, for yesterday, which is the most one of the most ludicrous things you can ever hear of is, hey, by the way, man, this is exciting. First time since 1968, every team's going to play on opening day. You should already say, now hold on, now wait a second. Let's get to the bottom of this. Opening day, not everybody plays in baseball. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. But that's beyond the point. But back in, like, let's just say, again, the 1940s, and we'll use the Philadelphia Phillies and Connie Mack Stadium, Kevin, as an example. Let's just say it seats 45,000. Again, everybody's excited. Your biggest draw of the entire season, Kevin, is opening day. So therefore, in the Northeast, when it's March 30th, you might have a snowstorm. You might have a 20-degree day where you can't play the game. So instead of losing maybe some of that gate or people not showing up or tickets sold, and you want them in that ballpark to buy concessions and do everything, you then say, okay, opening day is Thursday, like it was yesterday. We're going to move keep opening day Thursday, but make sure we have a built-in fail-safe on Friday in case we have to delay the game to make sure we get that big gate of the season. We don't want to lose it. It's not the 1940s anymore, right? You know, easy to get tickets, easy to exchange for a game later. TV packages are way more lucrative because why, Kevin, in the 1940s? You didn't even have any TV packages at that point. That's why the gate was so important. So Major League Baseball lets everybody play opening day. Awesome, fantastic, great. I'm a Phillies fan, right? Phillies were up 5-0. They lost yesterday. Here's why it plays into it. Man, I can't believe the Phillies. I can't wait to. They better get something together today on the field. Oh, they're not playing. Now, opposite side. Texas Rangers, down 5-0, sold out house, exciting. Everybody's like, oh, man, we might be in for something special this season down in Texas. Boy, that was awesome. I can't wait for tomorrow. Yeah, by the way, you're off tomorrow. You see, like, that's the whole concept for me as a fan base where I stick up for them and go, why are we doing this? Because it's not as if, Kevin, you waited 7 months to play one game and you're exhausted and you need the day off.
So this is to some degree why this is bubbling to the surface, though, on this show specifically, is you had yourself a little back and forth with a Texas Rangers beat writer who attempted to offer up the explanation as to why the Rangers, a team with a roof, didn't play, right?
Yes.
And so let's just be totally honest here. I missed some of what you just said because I had to read this about 100 times to make sure that I'm not missing something. So you just explained to people, obviously, that most teams that are off on Friday is because they don't have a roof, right?
Yes, like, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So the Rangers have a roof, which is confusing. So Evan Grant, this is not to be a shot at Evan Grant.
No, it's not a shot at him at all. It's not because, and granted, I wasn't looking for, hey, I wonder if anybody's complaining about this. I have timeline set up on TweetDeck. That one popped up where I follow a lot of beat writers, and I believe I was one of the first responses on the timeline. Go ahead.
So Grant tweets out, if you're wondering why the Rangers are off today, MLB wanted everybody to open on Thursday. Many clubs without roofs had to build in a potential opening day makeup, which would be that Friday off. Rangers didn't have need for a potential makeup, but Major League Baseball wanted the full slate Thursday, so that's why. Now that makes, respectfully, not a damn lick of sense. That means nothing. What that tweet says is, every team that isn't playing Friday, it's because they don't have a roof. Oh, and also the Rangers. And the answer, apparently, to Evan Grant as to, well, why aren't they playing today? Which somebody wrote to him, not just Donnie. Somebody said.
Yeah.
So teams with no roof have Friday off, but since the Rangers have a roof, we have Friday off. Makes sense. Sarcastically.
Yeah.
To which Grant wrote, in Rangers' case, it was more about having everybody play on Thursday. To which I am now not going to tweet at Evan Grant, a gigantic waste of my time.
Yeah.
But, sir, they could have just played both days.
Yes.
I do not understand who told him this. I don't know if that is some source reporting there. I don't know if he is confused. But he is basically trying to say that the reason they are off Friday is because Major League Baseball made them play Thursday, seemingly somehow under the impression that playing both days wasn't on the table, which is, of course, insane because it's not as if, Donnie, today's slate is empty.
Correct.
There are a number of teams playing both days. What absolute madness out of Texas.
It is madness. And again, I call both shots because I love the offseason, what Major League Baseball did. But this isn't like a one-off, Kevin. This is every single year. And I want to, because even like, I don't even understand, Kevin, the thought process of, for Major League Baseball opening day, most tickets are sold in advance, correct? Like, it's not really walk-up baseball. Like, it's the 1920s where you didn't have phones to call in and buy tickets. You had to go to a box office. It's like, ooh, if it's really bad, we might not get a lot at the box office today. We want to wait to a nicer day. It's not the 1940s anymore. So what would happen here, Kevin? And let's just say yesterday, the Phillies and the Rangers, I don't know, somehow got canceled in a dome and they couldn't play. Every one of those tickets would then go, okay, this game is now going to be played next Friday. And every ticket is already sold for that ball game. 98% of the people will still show up at the ballpark for that game. So, it's again, I try to use the time errors there for why teams used to do that. There's no need for it. But at the same time, like, if you're going to have that, then why not just have everybody play every year on a Friday and go right through Saturday, Sunday, and then take off Monday if you need to have that as your opening day that you missed. The people, trust me, will still show up, and those tickets are not refundable. They're going to have to show up, and if they don't, they paid for the seat anyway.
Yeah, and I know you're talking about now the large scale of this,
yeah,
and I want to get off of this,
but I am a man of logic and rationale. And it comes off like a Who's on First skit with our good friend Evan here. Yeah. That's what that comes off like. Evan, why aren't they playing Friday? They played on Thursday. I know they played on Thursday. I'm talking about Friday.
Yeah.
But they could have played both, Evan. They played Thursday. Brother, hey, wake up. What are you doing? Because I know you pick apart that logic all the time, this idea that they couldn't be double booked. and the Rangers. We couldn't be double booked. Yes. And the Rangers. That's the problem. that is the issue. So, I mean, just again, baseball, and this is the thing with baseball. I say this all the time. This happens every single season, probably once a month. Mm-hmm. We will end up, and maybe this will stop because I know you're so happy with every single rule change.
Yeah.
Usually, though, once a month, we have a full segment, multiple segment, show-long rant about something that baseball is doing that is absolutely incomprehensible. We're 2 days in, and here we are. The Rangers couldn't play Friday because they played Thursday. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Exactly. It does. And also, it's because my one point is it's not going to stop any momentum. Fans are fans. I'm a fan first off. Today, I'm in baseball mode. Yes, there's baseball games. Not in the afternoon, but just at night. And my team isn't playing after yesterday. And it's a Friday, Kevin. So again, it's not as if Major League Baseball opened on a Monday. It's like, well, Tuesday, kids are still in school. It's Friday. People still show up at the ballpark the same way, Kevin. They showed up yesterday at the ballpark during a work day. There is no difference right now. So that is one of those points that's getting brought up where not even Major League Baseball can explain why they messed up so bad. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline. Yes, sir!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Now, we probably should be doing this backwards, Kevin, on a Friday, but there's so many really good topics out here as opposed to sporting events. Mm-hmm. Which, because, again, I'm a Twitter guy. I'm a social media guy. Tomorrow's a big day because the verified legacy check marks are leaving, and some of the biggest names in the business are basically just coming out hey, man, it's all nice to add that check mark. Yeah, it's gone now. And it's panic mode set in. Eagle beat writers are bringing it up. Lane Johnson is bringing it up now. I see a retweet of the Akron Beacon Journal, which is the paper in Akron where LeBron is from. They wrote an entire article on LeBron James won't pay monthly fee to keep verified status. He joins many others. Yeah. It's really, because again, when people know, I love the fact when I got my check mark. I thought it was great, hilarious at the same time, but not because it was I'm better than you are. It was just one of those almost a status thing that you got to, and I finally got it, and it was really cool. But trust me on this, if I never got the check mark, but the check mark was still involved in Twitter for the right reasons, I wouldn't have had any issue with it, to be honest with you. It was just fun. It's almost like, oh, can I get it? Can I get it? Finally got it. Awesome stuff here. And then you just go on your business. But the check mark really served as a, apparatus on Twitter where it's okay, I don't have to vet every single thing I see. Now, granted, even back in the day, I wasn't using TweetDeck when I first got on Twitter. I didn't even know if it was around. I've been sufficiently or solely, I should say, on TweetDeck for about 5 years now. My life is awesome with it. Now, with that, you follow and have certain timelines where it doesn't matter if the check mark is even there because I know I'm following Kevin on, let's just say, my feed. I don't have to worry about on another feed some fake Kevin shows up because I'm not even looking at that. I don't have that. I know he would tweet. Yeah. When he tweets, it comes across my feed. But the fact that the check mark kept everything in place where, again, we are in a society. We want information now. Oh, my goodness. Lamar Jackson just got traded from the Baltimore Ravens to the Indianapolis Colts. Ah, oh, Adarn Schefter got me that time. Why do we have to go back to that?
No, it's such a mistake. And really, you talk about, so being verified, I imagine for you, you're someone that's been on Twitter forever, right?
Yes.
You've been on Twitter so, so long.
Yeah.
And you've also, you have a lot of followers, right? 16,000. You being verified makes sense, right?
Yeah.
For me, I've not been on as long. I'm not as active on it. I would probably say relatively speaking. So it wasn't a big deal for me. But here's kind of the thing where, it'd be very hard for someone to try to impersonate you, and the follower count line up. Like, I don't know if I should say this or whatever, but like
no,
LeBron,
I know what you're saying.
Right? Yeah. It's not a big problem, but someone like myself or beat reporters, which is more importantly, which everybody else can relate to here more so,
correct,
that we go to for, oh, wow, that's actually some real information, trade rumors, whatever it might be, those will be easier to replicate. And what you'll also be able to do, though, is a guy can just continually switch the account around, change the handle, change the profile picture, change the bio, add an underscore, 20K followers. Hey, guess what, everybody? I am such and such. And that is the purpose of the verification thing. The reality is Elon Musk has no idea what the hell he's doing. It's a disaster with everything that he's done. And what you're noticing, though, is he's almost basically, it's like the stage of evolution for Elon is he's everything that Twitter learned over its, you know, decade plus existence, right? Elon is now having to learn in kind of 2x, 4x speed, right? Where he's like, all right, cool. Everybody's going to be able to be verified. And then Elon is like, oh, that's probably an issue because of this, and this. And Elon's like, I'm going to let everybody say what they want. And then that was an issue. And he's like, all right, well, I got to pull back on that, this, and this. And then eventually he's like, all right, well, now it's going to be nobody gets verified. And it's like, ooh, that's an issue, this, and this. And this whole thing is going to be this ridiculously dumb cycle that ends up with Twitter being exactly as it was before Elon got there. Because, look, nothing is perfect. But for the most part, Twitter had it right. Twitter was what it needed to be. And that's, I hope, where we end up back here. Because this whole thing is, of course, ridiculous.
Like, I've said it for years. In, like, the content/handicapping business, Twitter is far and away the most important thing in my life overall. And it's not because I want to fire off hot tweets that get responses.
Yeah.
It's more of the, because if that was the case, then you would just fire off, like, you know, 150 tweets a day, and who cares what anybody said because they were funny. Mm-hmm. You know, you might fire off 10 tweets a day, if that, but basically responding to different things or people reaching out to you. But it's the information highway. The reason why it was fun is because you could load up a ton of beat writers that you know who they are. And also, Kevin, you know, if you're new to Twitter, just getting in and say, hey, Donnie, you know what? TweetDeck, what's that about? Or who do I follow? Wait till the check marks are taken away. And I go, okay, follow Dave Smith. There's 78 of them, Donnie. Which one? Which Dave Smith here? As opposed to, oh, yeah, that's right. The Dave Smith has a check mark, and it says, okay, Bengals reporter or something like that under it. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to get in the way, most things. Because, again, from a just a, like, as I look at it right now, it's in real time. I have to refresh it. It just scrolls all the way through when somebody on one of my lines types in, hey, you know, how you doing? Or, hey, Ray's game is canceled tomorrow. It pops right up. I just don't want to see that go down because also when you're starting to see, like, I don't know if there's going to be another TweetDeck, Twitter, any other company that does this because it seems pretty easy where people probably would jump right away. But also the liquidation of Twitter, which means, you know what? No check marks. It's no point in me being there anymore. And you don't get as good quality information. That's what I'm worried about. Not the check mark per se. It's what Twitter is going to be.
Yeah, so again, the thing, this is not, I imagine there's a lot of people on a lot of different type of media discussing this, right?
Yeah.
But you and I, we are not talking about this because it's like, this is a bummer. Like, Twitter is, I have so much fun tweeting hot. You know, yesterday, on the early line, we knew that the straw poll was coming out. I slapped the notification bell on Tin Bond Temps, and I mean this with no funny business. We were talking about the straw poll before they were on GetUp. Yes. Because we had it first, because we had the Twitter notifications come out, and we got it straight to us right away, and there was no hesitation, no time wasted. Mm-hmm. And guess what that allowed us to do? That we were first to watch any odds movement in the NBA's MVP market, which is one of the hottest discussions going right now in sports. We were first. Thanks to Twitter. Nothing else. Thanks to Twitter. If all of a sudden Bontemps is off Twitter and ESPN's like, look, that article's going to come out when it comes out. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to sit there and refresh ESPN.com. I am refreshing ESPN.com. Let me know when they send that notification to my phone, but it won't be as quick and swift as it is with Twitter. That is the power, is the quickness and the legitimacy of the information all being able to happen simultaneously allows us, the bettors, allows us, the sports fans, to know what is going on. That's the reality.
It is. And I don't know if it can be changed, verified, changed, or whatever it is. But it'll be interesting to see because, as I said, by next week, there's going to be a lot of fallout, like on Twitter overall, because people wait for this stuff. Do you remember when the checkmark first, you could buy it? Like, official Adam Schefter accounts were showing up with blue check marks, like, right off the bat. And they, oh, well, we can't do that. Well, now you got to send something in to let us know, like, what your name is and all that. Just wait till, because I think there was, when the time we got verified, I think there might have been, like, a couple hundred thousand verified accounts, which now probably more. But I can assume now, once it goes away, that's going to drop way, way lower on the end from the official check marks to who actually bought them. And it's going to be very interesting to see overall what takes place here. But again, if you do use TweetDeck, you're pretty much insulated from it. But then again, just those random tweets that sneak through, like you have bond temps on. Let's see, you don't have a notification on. Hey, get one of the producers behind the scenes to verify that account. We can't go live on it for like 5 minutes. See what I mean?
And this isn't even slander of our guys. I'm not trusting anybody else to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, in your ear. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Christian's behind the scenes. Like, hey, guys, by the way, Tom Brady's coming back to the NFL. Just got the tweet. Like, ooh, Brady's back. Brady's back. And then you see, like, real Adam Schefter comes on. It's like, hey, by the way, that was a fake account for me.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, like, that's – and again, that's not slander on Christian. Christian's great.
No.
He wouldn't be able to get us that information. It's just I
want to be first.
I wouldn't be able to trust it myself until I saw it firsthand now because – it's just it gets too complicated, too much room for issue, for things to go wrong. So yeah, it's a real shame in that way. And I do think this will cycle. I really believe that. I really do believe that this will cycle.
Is there a chance that it cycles where it gets pushed back? Because you know right now Elon Musk is watching Twitter. And when just about every account is saying, like, yeah, I'm a legacy account, I'm not paying for it. And it almost liquidates his Twitter because, stars are just going to be like, you know what? I don't have to pay. I'll just go to IG or Instagram or somewhere else at this point.
Yeah, to your point, and it's a really good one, is if he – look, Elon is still overall like a smart guy, right? Like he's got to have some business sense about him. And if you go, wait a minute, I might create an opening here for a new media platform to steal the best and the brightest. Because I think you've kind of made this point, but if a social media platform was willing to pay Schefter, Woj, Rappaport, Haynes, Shams, each, hey, listen, here's $1 million a year, exclusive rights to your tweets.
Yep.
They might go. And also, if you know this, look, as much as, you know, there's aspects of Twitter that are comical and things like that, if I don't need it, if all my information is going to be over here, then I'll live without the funny stuff. The funny stuff you can find anywhere, right? You could get lost on YouTube for 7 hours if you want to find funny stuff. Where Twitter dominates is I can't go to YouTube to find out when the straw poll's coming out.
As you know, it's a great point you bring up because you can actually say, like, Twitter, leave it the same. I'll keep my name, there's no check mark, and I'll just fly off the handle and just have fun and, you know, talk to my buddies on there and cut each other up. But then there's another company that's like, hey, by the way, we have the top 150 beat writers and people in the industry. It's $3.99 a month, and you get official stuff just like Twitter. I'm in on that. Like, I'm in on that. I just don't want to lose the best of both worlds, and that's what it looks like it's coming to. Final Four talk next. Props, players, picks, and more. Make sure you keep it right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final Four action. Let's get to it, Kevin. Two games. Two games tomorrow. A lot of fun to be had by all. If we take a look at the overall current numbers here, you're getting as high as 3, looks like, on DraftKings, which means Florida Atlantic getting 3 points. Primarily, everybody else across the board is 2.5. That's for Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. Game number 2, Saturday night, Miami versus UConn. That's been steady all week. Like, I think it opened up at like 5.5 everywhere and has not moved a bit across the board. And that's 149.5 as a high, 149 at a lot of outlets as a low. More intriguing games to me entertainment-wise, of course, it's Miami versus UConn. Ticket or no ticket, that's the game that you're probably going to want to focus on. But the one that's like just, you know, handicapper's dream, it feels like, is what to make of FAU and San Diego State. And I saw the 3 points today, and I think the 3 points, getting it with FAU, is the way to go.
Yeah, I'm surprised that line keeps going that direction. Yeah. I tend to agree. This Owls team has been great. I think it's the sixth best cover percentage in college basketball this season. So they've just been making people money all year long. I am surprised that that's the price that you're getting right now on FAU. I didn't think that they were going to be the favorites in the basketball game, but I certainly didn't expect this number to creep up to three now. And, you know, so you ask yourself, what am I missing? And, you know, what kind of information do I not have? Because that's certainly not what I was anticipating.
And also, prop bet perspective, you did go with Vlad Goldin, right? Is it 8.5 that you got as a player?
Yeah, so I have to be totally honest, I've not placed all of my bets just yet, but that is the one that I liked the most there. Yes, was Vlad Goldin. Big men, Bediako, Kalkbrenner, as we talked about, have had good games. The Charleston big, I think it's Borzak, probably way wrong there, but it's close enough. You'll be able to figure it out when you look at the box score there. Those are all guys that have been able to get to double digits there. And again, it's one of those things you look, skip. It makes sense that the 7-footer against a, for the most part, a smaller team would be a focal point there for FAU on the offensive side of the ball.
Yes, and also you have to keep in mind, with a team that's so strong on defense at the 3-point line, you have to give away something that's typically going to be at the mercy of you defending down on the low block. So maybe some extra incentives. I like John L. Davis of FAU to go over the 13.5 points. The total's a tough one there, because if I'm looking at two teams that, I don't know, maybe San Diego State can play into the 50s, I doubt it stays down that far. I'd lean towards the over, but again,
one of those,
you know, big scaries on, You see these little small teams coming in here playing these giant 85,000-seat stadiums, and maybe they don't shoot as well.
No, I actually, and I don't know what it is, but specifically this tournament has really just made me just feel better about betting unders, player props, the whole thing, where, you know me, that's not usually my style at all. And this is a game to me that looks like an under. San Diego State's played 12 consecutive unders, which in its own right, it is just ridiculous there, and I think FAU can kind of fit that mold there. And if you want to play that grinded out game, like we talk about, you know, Goldin post touches, hard to find the 3-point shots, I think they're ready to do that.
Yeah, no, agree with you on that. Certainly agree. Let's take a look at that second game, 7:03, 7:04 in the rotation, 8:50 p.m. tip on Saturday, which, again, Saturdays, no excuses. Not even an old man like me would get upset with that. I'll be up for that game enjoying it. 149.5, 5.5 for myself. I didn't bet the side, and I'm not going to bet the side. I'm not going to even take a mini hedge on, like, Miami, per se, since they're around that 2-to-1 frame. I'm just going to let it ride with my UConn futures ticket to win it, and I do believe that they will win the game. But I got to tell you, boy, 5.5, Miami's good, Kevin. They're good.
They are. I have – it does for me feel like Miami has the best chance here. I got to be – so look ahead lines right now. They have the San Diego State line as the shortest for potential UConn opponents, in fact, during this Miami game. Strong disagree. I don't think San Diego State would have a prayer against UConn. I think UConn would run them off the court.
Runs them over? Yeah.
I think it's the same fate could wait for FAU. I'm a little worried that the Final Four is going to be awful. I'm a little worried the Final Four is going to be awful. FAU San Diego State is going to be an ugly basketball game. We're going to have to pretend we like it when we don't. And then UConn's just going to play just murder ball for the game against Miami in the championship game. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's very in line. And again, that's when we can kind of rehash conversations about who we're happy to see here and who we're not happy to see here. So, but now I'm also not betting the spread, though. I'm not betting the spread. I like the over in the basketball game, and then there's one player prop specifically I'm really inclined to be involved with.
Also, when you try to take a look at, you know, look at the four teams in here, and it's not Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, and Michigan, right? You have to feel some sort of – now, UConn is interesting to me because they're that type of team that's like, okay, you don't really think about them as a national champion and go, wait a second. Like, look at the background for UConn. Like, they used to be a dominant program, Final Fours, winning championships, and not all that, you know, recently of doing that. But when you're FAU, San Diego State, and Miami, you got to say to yourself, like, there's a really good chance, Kevin, we might never get back to this point. Like, never in the program's history. It's like, if we don't get it done now, we're never going to be there. Similar like in 2008, being a fan with the Philadelphia Phillies. They played Tampa Bay in the World Series. And you said, whoa, whoa, whoa. We just went through the Dodgers. They get here in a whole lot of high-leverage situations. You're going to tell me we're going to lose to the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series? We might never get back here? No, they did get back. Didn't win it. But they got there and got the job done. I just feel like from all of these teams, UConn you could sort of take out. Like, San Diego said, like, oh, my goodness, we got to the final and we lost. You're not getting back there.
Yeah, so I think that makes sense. But there's also something to the UConn effect of, oh, my gosh, like, this is us, fellas. Like, this is us. So I'll give you a little, maybe this, I don't know if this example will land, right? But as a LeBron guy, the Lakers get to the finals against the Heat. And I was like, I just remember the whole time being like, oh my God, like they're supposed to win. Mm. Like, because Donnie, he was playing the Warriors every year.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he's dead to, they're dead to rights. Like Kevin Durant's on the other side. You know what I mean? Losing, you know, multiple finals in a row and all these things where if you're UConn, and I totally understand your point about the other three teams here. If you're UConn, you're like, we can't mess this up. We mess this up, we may never recover. Big East is going to get better. Like, who knows who keeps calling Dan Hurley all of a sudden. He's the biggest superstar in college basketball-wise.
Yeah,
Hawkins is leaving for the draft. All these different things. And you go, we better get this done. Because every time UConn gets there, it's like, well, how did UConn end up going on a magical run anyway? So, for UConn, nobody will feel like they blew it more than if the Huskies don't cut the Nets down.
Yeah, Kemba Walker days, you know. I mean, they've had some sensational teams, but you're right. Like, they've went on this charge, and everything has broken right for them, where if you say before the tournament, hey, UConn, you're going to make the Final Four, oh, man, who we end up wind up playing here? It's going to be Miami, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State. What do we get it? What are we in the NIT? What kind of joke is that? Like, no. Like, this, outside of UConn, this is really like an NIT Final Four that you could sell to the people. Like, hey, by the way, CEOs, yeah, that's NIT. Of course it is. Look at the teams in it.
Yeah, I mean, look, and if anybody thinks that's slander, everybody else is in their first Final Four, so it's not slander. Okay,
yes,
it's just truth. It's just truth here. I want to, you know, just mention quickly. I don't know if you're done with these games, but
yeah, go ahead.
Women's games tonight.
Super boost out here too.
Like for the women's games.
For the women's game.
No way.
Iowa and South Carolina each drop 70 plus 160.
Oh, I'm on it. I'll be on it. Oh, plus 160.
Yeah?
Oh, I'll be on it. I'm on the over in the game.
Behind it, though. Why?
Yeah.
What are we going here on?
Yeah. So I looked up. Iowa had 11 games this year against a ranked opponent, 8-2-1 of the over, and no freebies there, Donnie. I mean, we're talking about games that are finishing 90-80. Like, just unbelievable affairs there. Now, I know South Carolina is superstar on the defensive side of the basketball. But what that really is that's an Iowa team total. And Iowa's been very good at covering numbers against ranked opponents this season, 8-3 against the spread. So South Carolina's going to flirt with 100. I actually think there's a sneaky chance.
Really?
South Carolina gets, like, slaughter zone here tonight. Yeah, I think there's a real opportunity for
now
that.
Is the, could the issue be that both teams don't get to the 70, though? Like, if they gave you, like, okay, total in this game, we'll just put it at, I don't know, 145 and boost it.
Yeah, so I'm on the over of 149.5 already. So this is kind of, you know, maybe pressing down my luck a little bit. But if I was going to cover this game, I do think they're going to have to get to 70 points in this basketball game. So I like the boost. Maybe you're right. Maybe I need to not go crazy, though, since I'm already on the over in the game. I've got the Caitlin Clark under 9.5 assists. Make sure you get 9.5. Again, the South Carolina defense is very, very good. And then you talked about it this morning, and it was a point I was making where some of these South Carolina player props, they might not be able to set them high enough because this total is 15, 18, 20 points higher than a lot of Gamecocks totals, where season-long averages don't matter all of a sudden for Aaliyah Boston, Caruso, and some of the girls like that on this basketball team.
So, because I'm looking for something to bet tonight, and you know me, I love an
odds. I'm on the over.
That's a good one? Okay.
I like the boost. I like the boost. I'm on the over in the game already. So, I like that as well. That first game is fun. I'm probably going to just strictly bet that Angel Reese bet. What happened?
Ooh, look, they just popped another one up here for you, K-Dub. LeBron James, Kevin Durant to score 50 combined tonight.
Stop it. No, they didn't.
Yes, plus 140. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100%. Let's go. No, see, when they hang two good ones, you bet two good ones. Right? You know, I'm not going to bet one and not bet the other. Two good ones tonight. Wow. Now, that's what you love to see. That is so good there.
Boom. Whoa. We're in on both. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now. Over here. Now.
Yeah.
What is the Kevin Durant straight points prop, though? Because I don't want to be greedy. But I might have to be on the KD number solo.
All right, let's.
Because I don't know if I want to bet LeBron 26.5. I did mention this morning. I thought he could have a big game against Minnesota. But Donnie, if they're plus 140 to combine for 50, is Kevin Durant like 21.5 points here?
23.5.
Wow, you know what? Just bet the boost then. Yeah, but I do like the KD over. But yeah, I'll be on that.
The boost. What a tremendous boost! Now see that one is one you can get behind.
Did a finger slip?
Yeah. And the best part about it is, like, this is why, hey, baseball, this is what's going wrong here. Like the FanDuel Sportsbook, you just started your season, and we're betting LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and then an NCAA women's super boost that we absolutely love, because apparently nobody in the room could put up a baseball boost, something simple like over under 7 home runs tonight, plus 160. Like, yeah, let's go. Oh,
Couldn't bother.
But there you go. I'm in on both. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll be in on both as well then. Every single other sport, when they open up, FanDuel's like, all right, let's get the people something here. And opt in, bet the World Series. We'll do some profit boosts, but like we can't be. Do you know how much they love being like Ohtani to strike out 5 batters?
Yes.
Plus 100. Like, no. They weren't giving anybody anything.
No. Because the people that would bet that apparently would cash out and close their account and never bet again, from what I'm understanding, if you would have gave that
maybe they just
boost away.
Donnie, baseball just doesn't like matter so much that it would have been a waste of their time.
Now, hear me out, FanDuel. On these odds boosts, how about no maximum bet, huh? How about that? Just let it rip for a weekend.
Can I tell you something? I disagree. I think it's actually, Donnie, do you know how much money I think this has saved us over the years? That there's actually no maximum, that there is a maximum on those boosts.
And the best part about it, like, let's just say you go, like, again, we're not talking, oh, Kevin's going to lay $5,000 down. Let's just say you put $500 down on, like, a quarterback to go over 225 yards, and first quarter he pulls his hamstring. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Because, I mean, you'd still be upset if you did that on a regular one. It feels like the odds boost, like, hey, I'm getting plus EV prices here, and now I'm going to take advantage of it, and it doesn't even work out in your favor. Oh, man. Quick segment here before we hit hour number two coming up next. It's a Friday right here on the grid. Loving it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of hour number one right here. It's Moneyline on a Friday. Enjoying the time. Big weekend coming up here. Wish there was Major League Baseball in the afternoon, but having said that, I know a guy that was so close to possibly being a millionaire last night, K-Dub. I mean, he was really close. We saw the tweets out here. The plays are in. I'm assuming we got a massive weekend, and that means the X-Man is on the line. Friday, right here. Get to it, X-Man. What do you got?
I'm coming in hot.
Yeah,
I'm reloaded.
Let's go.
I'm coming with Kevin Durant for the 25 points. The Memphis Grizzlies on the money line. Cleveland Cavaliers on the money line. The Houston Astros on the run line. And the Dallas Stars to win in regulation. That's 20-1.
20-1. Now, X-Man, I need your expertise tonight here. We have an odds boost out here. Iowa and South Carolina to each get 70 points that we need your blessing on.
Yeah, it's going over. They built from me 80 points.
You don't talk at all. You just heard. We love to hear.
I think this pick of the day is Kevin Durant, 25. I'll take him for 30.
Let's go.
Keep going. 40.
That ladder's growing. The ladder's growing. Like, we're almost at the third floor now, baby.
Uh-huh. I love that.
There we go.
I love it.
He's
right.
X-Man's
like
ready for
pick.
This. I do. I'm excited for that. That boost, that might be the best boost I've seen this year. No, it's minus 120 to plus 140.
I agree.
But it's not even, like, one of those, like, ooh, somebody's got to go off. Like, no. Like, one guy approaches 30, and you got this.
Donnie, the other night they had Luka and Embiid get to 70, man.
Yeah, exactly.
At 2-1. At 2-1. We got LeBron and KD for 50. I mean, the price is close enough. You know what? I changed my opinion. Unleash the max.
Yeah.
We want emptying accounts on this one here.
Like, full
blast.
I already bet that boost here. I needed the blessing. Like, if X-Men would be like, no, that's not a good one, I'm emailing FanDuel right now. Like, yeah, I need my money back.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't mean to do that. By the way, hour number two is coming up next. I got a question on LeBron James. I need clarity on what his tweet actually meant. We'll be right back here. Don't you change the dial. SiriusXM Channel 159.